We have testimonies of spiritual conversations and even some salvation stories that have come from someone texting Jesus on their work team and ending up in that kind of, because they respond with something along the lines of, hey, so you know this is a ministry, but we'd love to talk with you.
Love that.
And then it starts from there. Isn't that crazy? Like, it's amazing. It's incredible.
Yep. Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast. I'm Nils Smith, and I'm joined by my good friend Daniel Hall. Daniel, welcome back to the Social Media Church Podcast.
Thanks. Good to be back.
Yeah. So we had you on. This is a long, long time ago when my former friend, former colleague, Jay Cranda. Jay is my current friend, just to be clear. He is my former co-host.
That's right.
We were traveling together in an undisclosed location.
That's right.
And we were in a hotel room. We set the microphone up and we had a very, very raw conversation. So I want to encourage folks, go back and listen to that conversation. It's a fascinating conversation. Daniel, you are one of the most creative people I know.
You're
one of the most insightful people I know. And for those that you don't know, you are the chief creative officer on the Echo Global team, doing some interesting things. And so before we get into the conversation, we're going to be talking about online conversations today. Can you talk a little bit about the Echo platform and what it is and what it does to give context to our conversation today?
Yeah, absolutely. It does a lot. But the idea is that it's one place. We like to say it's one platform in one browser tab in one inbox that brings all of your digital communication together in one place. So if you can reach out, do some kind of outreach or call to action to your audience, their response all comes back in one inbox. And that goes for email, that goes for SMS texting, that goes for web chat, social media, so as in private messages and Facebook wall interaction. What have I left out? We have the beta for WhatsApp we're really excited about. That's a big deal for us. Telegram, which isn't used as much in the States as it is overseas, but Telegram's a big one for us as well.
Yeah.
Traditional phone calls. Remember those things? We actually dial somebody.
So somebody can call in and the platform, you can answer the phone through the platform?
That's right. Yeah. Wow. And we also have an app available through Android and iOS. It's all built to be very, we say volunteer a lot. We know that there's some paid customers that use it as well, but the volunteers that usually ministries gather a team around to, we've designed it to be very volunteer centric.
Yeah.
So that each one of those conversation types, whether it's SMS or web chat, they look and feel exactly the same so that no matter if you have a Generation Z volunteer or are really awesome elder, is that what we're calling, like boomers or older elder? I don't know. I saw that in a Barna. I'm gonna blame Barna on that. Yes. Okay, sorry, Barna. Elders. It's Barna's fault. I read that this morning. So no matter what the age level, they can hop in and have a very an easy, hopefully very low barrier to entry for the volunteer's sake. And then our admins love that we are able to then layer on all sort of reporting on that, so we can help with staffing so that those times can be scheduled, so the app can give you a push notification when your schedule has started and you can start receiving phone calls to your phone. There's so much we can do with Echo right now, which is why it's exciting that we're talking, because we're kind of in this moment with Echo launching into the public, getting a little bit more attention here in the States.
Yeah.
So anyway, we'll talk more as we go, but that's the big, huge picture. It's so hard to wrap up in 30 seconds. We're doing our best trying to talk to people about it.
Well, and I love it. I mean, I love, as you have built a platform and a technology, and at the end of the day, ministries and churches are often served the poorest when it comes to good technology. And the reality is, while there's a lot of technologies that were like MailChimp that you can use for email marketing that really can work for the church and a lot of different ways, when it comes to database technologies and certain technologies that are really unique. The church and ministries have unique needs that often a standard platform that's made for a for-profit business doesn't work most effectively for a ministry or for a nonprofit or for a church. And so there is a great need for good, unique technology. And you know, we talked before this is not a sales pitch for Echo. While I am a fan, it is a great technology. And what we want to talk though in this conversation is what you've learned as you guys have managed over 3 million, as you were sharing with me earlier, conversations. We want to talk about what those conversations are, maybe some ministries that you work with. But I want to go back to when I was at Community Bible Church. I remember actually one of my most popular blog posts I ever posted in my time was when we at Community Bible Church hired a digital receptionist. And so that was a literal full-time job we created. And what we did is we used Live Chat Inc. and we put that on our website. And then she also responded to all of our social media messages that came in. And she was our digital receptionist. And so practically when you think about a church needs, a lot of churches have a receptionist who was hired to answer the phone or to when people come in. And so that's internal inbound communication of people walk in the door or they make a phone call or they send letters in the mail to your church. That receptionist receives those things and then distributes them where they need to go. And so when it comes to digital engagement, and now you have Facebook and you have Instagram, and you have, you know, social media and you have email and you have, I love that you've integrated the phone into that as well. Your church needs a receptionist. And so whether that's a volunteer or whether that's a staff person, there are incoming messages to your church and you need a system to receive those. And you know, we used a Community Bible Church Hootsuite to manage our social media. Now, a lot of social media stuff has changed and matured, and Hootsuite was the best there was at that time. But I think about the, you know, one of the things that was fascinating to me about having a digital receptionist is at least 50% of the messages that she received were ministry conversations led to ministry moments. We saw people get saved on communitybible.com.
Isn't that cool?
They were coming to our website looking for church service times because they had something happen in their life that was kind of instigating them wanting to come to church. And before they even came into our doors, we were able to make a personal connection in real time by having a live chat box on our website. And she ministered to them in their need. And she would pray for about 10 to 15% of the people that came on our side, that she would type out a prayer.
Gosh,
it was
cool.
Incredible. You know, and this was 5 years ago, 6 years ago. And technology has come a long way. So I love the platform and what this means. And I think it can feel overwhelming to a church of how do I manage all of these channels that are now coming in? And I love that you guys have built a technology that helps churches and ministries do that. Can you talk a little bit about, I guess, in more detail of, you talked about what the platform does, who do you work with and how does it actually work? And what does that mean? You say 3 million conversation.
Right.
What does that mean?
What does that mean?
That's a lot.
3 million conversations. So, I mean, we wouldn't be doing what we're doing without an amazing ministry partner that I'm sure a lot of the audience has heard of, Need Him. Yeah. They've traditionally been a phone ministry. Need Him, you know, if you listen to Christian radio, I think they still run their ads that I even heard as a teenager. You know, they might run an ad that talks about depression or any topic. And then it's like, call us at Need Him. And they're the whole concept is really simple. Is that if you need prayer to talk to somebody about anything faith, God related, they're there. That's the whole idea, is that they're there to talk.
I'm going to cut you off real quick. I met the president of Need Him. He was telling me that they own Jesus on text message, I believe, and that you can text Jesus and
how
they receive
that?
It. So
oh my gosh.
If you want to do this conversation, text Jesus and you're going
to. It's amazing. First of all, brilliant that they grabbed that, right?
Yes.
And so if anybody right now even just typed in Jesus, you know, the word, the letter characters into iMessage or whatever, it would go into Echo and their team would receive that.
Yeah.
But what's really funny, just a quick side note, I don't know if you're familiar, but Jesus also equals Jesus to much of the world. So We got a lot of interesting conversations that would start with, hey, where are you? You're supposed to be at the job site.
Yeah.
Or can you pick up one of these tools or whatever, some more supplies? But Nils, just like you were saying with the digital assistant, we have testimonies of spiritual conversations and even some salvation stories that have come from someone texting Jesus on their work team and ending up in that kind of, because they responded something along the lines of, hey, so you know this is a ministry, but we'd love to talk with you.
Love that.
And then it starts from there. Isn't that crazy? Like, it's amazing. It's incredible.
Yep. I love to, what that communicates to me too is if you just make yourself available to people to have a conversation, not forcing a conversation.
That's right.
But make yourself available. You never know what that might do.
Yeah. If you're willing, who knows how God will use you.
Yeah. Right. So when you say 3 million conversations, that means 3 million people have messaged to church, text message, email.
Yeah, let's clarify that a little bit.
Into the system.
Yeah. So that would be like, hello, Nils, one.
Yes.
Yep. Hey, Daniel, two.
Yep.
So that's a message.
Yep.
So we've actually done almost 25 million individual messages.
Yeah.
But that collectively is a conversation.
Yeah.
So that's the 3.3 plus, almost 3.4 million conversations. And that's, again, we've got a bunch of ministry partners we've worked with internationally. So that comes from, you know, let's just brag on Need Him again really quickly. Yeah. They were the first, I believe, confidently I can say, they were the first spiritual, especially evangelistic ad on Pandora Radio. So they had a pastor kind of do a quick, like, you know, someone's just listening to their rock and roll and all of a sudden an ad comes up, but it's this pastor giving a quick truth, spiritual truth, and then a call to action. And at the time, I don't know how it works right now exactly, but at the time, all you had to do is click on your phone, click on that banner ad, and it would actually bring up your messaging client and then autofill, like, I would like to talk to somebody about God. And then you just hit send. So two button presses. And then all of a sudden they're in a conversation about Jesus or about whatever they want to be a conversation. And all sorts of conversations come into the best and the worst things come into Echo.
I love it.
But yeah. So, I mean, gosh, it would be very difficult to sum up 3.4 million conversations. But that's kind of just a little example, whether it's accidentally texting Jesus, purposefully texting Jesus, which, you know, the funny, interesting thing about that is there's multiple stories of people not expecting to get an answer from Jesus, right? But they're just, because that's how a couple generations now communicate primarily, they're just going to text Jesus as if kind of like writing a letter to Santa Claus. Like, I'm just going to write this letter. I'm just going to throw it out there. And they text Jesus, and then a ministry partner is able to respond. And it's like, you know, you were mentioning earlier, we call that in our business, we like to use marketing terms and not over Christianize things. That's a highly qualified lead.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like someone that's willing to text in Jesus or someone that's willing to come and look for service times at your church.
Yep.
That is an extremely highly qualified lead. And in a marketing and business world, you do not let those slip by. You have to take advantage of those while it's hot. That whole idea, you want to help that person while it's a highly qualified lead.
That's a
good
one.
Yeah, I mean, gosh, we could go on and on. Another example in that realm.
We're a little delayed.
Go
with it.
We're delayed, but I'm gonna go because you're so kind. You'll let me. So another example in that realm is that we partner with ministries that will host an event and they'll make a call to action from stage. And you know, a lot of times it'll be just to create some kind of buzz around the next event or to build a list of some kind for them to be able to communicate with their audience. And so it'll be a keyword, right? So it'll be like, hey, text in movement to this number, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So like, you know, thousands of people text in movement, but then there's like a handful of people that will use that opportunity to try to reach out to somebody. And we've seen, you know, in some traditional technologies that can also do something similar to that, that message gets kind of lost in the ether. because the technology is not really built to host a conversation. It's meant to just react to a keyword. And we have that. We've got the autoresponders all built in, and you can do drip campaigns and all that cool stuff. But what we really saw the magic is to be able to gather the person who says, I'm at this big event. It's just a Christian concert, maybe with an evangelist. We've partnered with Winter Jam. I know a lot of people aren't familiar with Winter Jam, huge concert event. Well, that guy says, hey, text me movement at this number. And that makes somebody think that they can reach out to this person. So they're going to say, hey, my parents are talking about divorce and I don't know what to do. Hey, I've cut myself again and I don't want to do that again. And like, now we're able to take that conversation that got lost in the ether and take that, like basically take that conversation, take them by the hand and introduce them to a friend that wants to talk about ministry, that wants to introduce them to Jesus and to hope. And all that's happening because of a concert event through Echo. So it's these kind of stories that are just like, oh my goodness, like I get to be a part of this through pushing buttons, pixel pushing, deciding where a button goes from time to time, and leads to these kind of things.
So as you're digging into, or as you're seeing these conversations happen, my mind goes to two places. I think a lot of us in technology really want to get into artificial intelligence, automation, and marketing.
Everybody's talking about bots.
Yeah, and I love that. We do a lot at Dunham mm-hmm. Company. We're doing a lot of messenger bots for our clients. I think there's a place for that. We do a lot of drip campaigns and email. There's a place for that. What do you see from a ministry standpoint, the effectiveness of automation and bots and artificial intelligence in comparison to personalization, real time, real people responding? Yeah. And how do you overlap the two?
Yeah, so we are, I mean, not daily, but every few days, we're talking about the philosophy around this because all of us, everybody in ministry right now, the tech ministry overlap is trying to figure this out. Yeah. So this is the question. Every time I go to a tech conference that has Christians, this is what we're talking about. So we're sort of evolving this philosophy of bots. The AI is fantastic, and we should absolutely be using as much as we can to a degree. We think that degree is a couple things. One, it is a great information gathering system. So why would we waste resources of actual people when a bot, like I always brag on Slackbot, if you're familiar with Slack, when you're setting up your Slack account for the first time, oh man, it is seamless. It's actually weirdly kind of fun. And you're just you're guided through I'm getting ahead of myself. You're guided through a system that arrives with a full profile. Okay, so there's that. Yep. We love that use of a bot. Yep. Then there's where was I going?
Bots.
Hold out because I got so excited.
A person responding.
Yeah. Well, mm-hmm. So what we don't want, let's go ahead and jump in. What we don't want is for someone to ever feel like they're just being run through a system, right? That's the information gathering part. That's okay. Okay, here's where I was going. Authenticity, right? Yes. We use that, we throw that word around all the time, but we want to give them an authentic experience. So I believe, and I think our team is really developing this in our philosophy, is that it needs to be upfront. We don't want to trick anybody. We don't want to be manipulative and like, haha, you were talking to a bot that led you to salvation. Like that is, we are not interested in that. We want to use bot technology really well, intelligently to fill in the gaps. Like, hey, we have volunteers standing by. We're busy, but could you tell us your name? You know, like this is a bot that's going to gather some information. Could you tell us your name and an email to where if we can contact you back? That kind of use, perfect for bot. The actual like taking someone through a conversation about Jesus. I bet you people out there listening could make a decent argument how a bot could do that. And I think delivering information, maybe taking them through some sort of bot course of some kind, you know, like just delivering information. I think we're really, we are on our team are really sensitive about the actual heart-to-heart, the authenticity that people are seeking. The moment they realize that they're not talking to a human, you're going to lose them. And it's going to feel like the same experience that we in the church, we harp on, like someone coming into our physical churches and not someone not shaking their hand, not getting to know their name. They walk out and they never had contact with one of our church members.
Yep.
It's the same to me. It's the same concept is if they come in, they talk to a bot and they never had an interaction with a believer.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It totally makes sense, man. And I think about just how often marketers or businesses are always, and churches are no different, looking for efficiencies. And often we miss ministry opportunities in the midst of that. And I think we need to think about, sometimes it's about doing the hard work of recruiting volunteers or building a team.
Yes.
When it comes to online conversations. And I think even, you know, you think about all the phone systems you use when you just want to talk to a person. Like, I don't know how many times, and I'm a digital guy, but I'm like, okay, do this, push 7 and push the, you know, like, and it's always like zeros. You're like, what do I need to do to talk to a person? And I think we want to do the same thing online. I mean, I got a cold email the other day of a service I was very interested in. I hit reply, like, yes, I'm interested. I immediately got a message back that helped me know I was in an automated system. I had probably been, you know, like it was probably a spam system that sent me the original cold email. I replied to it. I, you know, whatever, bought the bait and replied. And then I knew it was an automated system. And then they sent me the automated info of the solution. And they're like, are you interested? And I'm sure if I had interested, it might have queued a person.
Sure.
But I immediately said, now I see your system. I'm not interested in working with your automated robots or something. But it really turned me off. And I think, man, if they had just had a person there in the initial lead generation process, I probably would have led to a sale.
Yeah,
and I think the same thing from a ministry opportunity of, I do think a bot can lead somebody to Jesus. I'm also a person that thinks that people can get saved because they watched a video and so many other things that people often said, this only happens face to face. Their bots can do a lot of things. I'm an early adopter of technology. So I'm actually doing some counseling with a bot. And I'm just fascinated because it's data to help understand what creates anxieties and how to relieve some of those anxieties collectively. Huh. So I'm kind of testing it, but kind of literally getting good advice through artificial intelligence. I think there's a place for that. But I signed up for that. I knew what it was. It wasn't somebody pretending to be a bot. And I think when it comes to ministry engagement, we need to think people, person to person first. And then I think add automation layers second. And it's harder. Yes. But I think we really need to prioritize, what does that look like to create person to person engagement? And it overlaps. So it's not either AI or automation and direct response. It's probably both and, but let's lean more heavily on personal relationships is what I'm learning here. But to have 3 million conversations, whole lot easier to automate that than it is to actually recruit the probably thousands of volunteers required to manage all of those conversations.
Man, that was amen, brother.
So tell me,
preach. That was amazing. I mean, completely agree. People first.
Yes, people first. And I think because you're also, when you bring bots into the equation, I mean, I think about all the churches and ministries out there that have incredible people who want to do ministry. What our recruiting tool at Community Bible Church for online ministry was the only volunteer opportunity in our church that you can do in your PJs.
I love it.
We were literally like, hey, find somewhere else you can recruit when the kids go to bed at 10 o'clock at night, when you're in your PJs, you go to online church for an hour and do ministry to people all over the world. What a great opportunity for anybody anywhere at any time.
I have this vision and I want to throw it out there. Cause maybe you're such a great networker connected guy. Maybe you can even like speak to somebody who's already doing this, but I have just recently kind of had this vision of a new version of missions in a church. Yeah. So I grew up highly involved in missions, traveled the world basically for free because of amazing support in our church community, changed my life. However, where short-term mission trips are amazing, there is so much need locally around us. And then digitally, like if we're going to talk about these two realms that, and listening to your podcast before, we talk about how there's not a difference in offline and online, right?
Yep.
That's something you and Nick have talked about a lot. And I totally agree. So with that in mind, where are the digital missionaries? So this question kind of started kicking around my head, and I had this vision of churches, like, how cool would this be, Nils?
Yeah.
Hey guys, from the stage, hey guys, we're looking to start some, like a fresh new idea of missions involving your mobile device. If you're interested, come say, hey, we're gonna put together a team. Could you imagine if 10 people, I don't know, size of the church, yeah, size doesn't matter, but 10 people agree to at any time, day or night, that they will agree to be bothered as a digital missionary through their mobile, through the mobile app. So let's say they download Echo. Yep. And when the push notification comes up that somebody's looking to chat, they answer. When their phone call gets rung and it says through Echo Global, they're going to answer. It's that idea of just being willing, being, yes, available, and being seeing themselves as a digital missionary. Man, I just wonder what that could look like with all the new technology that we have. Anyway,
yeah,
I'm still working on that vision, but gosh, how cool would it be for churches to start putting together along with, in a different way, looking at this as a completely legitimate and needed, much needed mission opportunity, this digital missionary team kind of concept. Yeah. Anyway, I would love to find people that are interested in doing something like that. Yeah. Man.
Well, and this is why I'm so grateful for our friends at Life Church who have really pushed the limits of technology for so many, mm-hmm, years. And they, I believe, coined the term digital missions, or that's where I first heard the term.
Sure, yeah.
We adopted that significantly at Community Bible Church. And I still remember one of our volunteers, Ruthie, who recently passed away. Mm. She was 82 years old when she joined our online ministry as a volunteer.
That is amazing.
And she, I remember, I mean, she was so emotional about online church because she, at 82 years old, she couldn't just travel to Peru or to Nepal, mm, or something. Mission place. She'd actually been a missionary earlier in her life. And she said, I didn't know how I was going to be able to continue to do global missions at my, wow, age. And I found it. I'm a global missionary every single time I get on onlinechurch.com. And she owned,
dude, I'm like about
owned,
to cry.
She owned being an online missionary.
That's beautiful.
It was so beautiful. She literally, I'm gonna tell you where she took it even the next step. Is she was so instilled. I bet she spent 20 hours a week on onlinechurch.com. Wow. She built such a deep relationship with this one group in Nepal. Two things she did that were fascinating. She started a women's Bible study on Saturday mornings for the women of this church. And they would all gather literally in this one church building that had no chairs. They literally sat on the floor and they set up an old iMac computer at the front of the room. And about 30 women would pack into this little church space. And they would Skype her in, and she would teach these women, and they would have a translator, and they would translate for her. So she'd get up at 4 a.m. every Saturday to pastor these women, and she literally became the women's pastor of this church, the pastor, the women's pastor of this church in Nepal. And then every Christmas, she was a part of a sewing club at Community Bible Church. They would make sweaters and mail them to Nepal, and they'd pass these out one by one, and the women would come up. It was the most beautiful thing. She was a digital missionary that became a women's pastor in Nepal from San Antonio, Texas.
What a time we're living in. What is this?
It's unbelievable. And I think about what she had seen in her life. The internet didn't exist except for the last 15 years of her life. She came to me. She was in line in the volunteer booth to go to the women's booth, and nobody was in our booth. So she felt bad for us, came and talked to us. And she's like, I have an iPad. Could I do this with an iPad? And I'm like, absolutely. She's like, well, if you teach me how to do it, I'll do it. And she fell in love and began it. She was a digital missionary. And there continues to be so many, but there is this massive opportunity. I think about, Daniel, the concept I'm having is I'm thinking about some local church opportunities, because while I love that with online church, we built a global ministry platform, and that was Robert Emmett's vision, is he wanted to take the local church global and reach anywhere, anyone, anywhere at any time. That was our vision. But I know a lot of churches they want to use the internet to reach their local communities.
Yeah.
And I think as a digital receptionist or digital mission field, there's a digital opportunity in your space. I wonder too, I'm fascinated by this SMS campaign of prayer with our, when we had a digital receptionist on communitybible.com and 95% of our traffic was local in San Antonio. And then it led to prayer of, you know, people so badly need prayer. I wonder about these campaigns where you think about people wearing t-shirts saying need prayer. If you literally just put like signage and use physical signs or use, you know, do some ads to where you literally are just targeting people in your local area to start conversations with them around prayer. The front door that can be for digital evangelism locally is fascinating. I think to hire some digital volunteers, digital ministers out of your congregation, I say hire to recruit and train. I think there's an incredible local opportunity. I think there's an incredible global opportunity. We are living at such an exciting day in history from a ministry perspective to use digital means to create real relationships that at the end of the day, our goal is still it's spiritual growth and community, but likely, I'm an online church guy, but I also believe in face-to-face. Our goal was still face-to-face with onlinechurch.com. We wanted to help them find a local church or start a house church, or we wanted them to be in face-to-face community whenever possible. And so the goal, I think, can shift church to church, but man, there is relational opportunities though to really do some incredible ministry work. I wanted to get into technology though a little bit.
Oh, okay. I'll do my best.
Sorry, as you're seeing all of these conversations, Daniel, I'm curious, because you've got me intrigued with this SMS, and my friends at textinchurch.com, a little plug for them, textinchurch.com, they're doing some really interesting stuff with what they're doing with SMS and combining that with email and some other kind of communication workflows. And SMS, I mean, I hear open rates are like 97% in SMS.
Well, right, of course, because Nils, if I text you right now, how long is it going to drive you insane before you have to open my?
Well, and I'll even look at it right now. So right now I have 0 unread text messages. I have 2 unlistened to voice messages, and I have 21,720 unread emails.
Wow. If you guys could pray for Nils right now, that is inbox 0, man.
And I have 0 unread messages in Facebook, but I have 5 unread alerts in Facebook. Yeah. So in Messenger, I read all of them too. So I think as we think about just kind of how communication channels flow, where are you seeing trends? Are you seeing more social media engagement happening? Are you seeing more SMS, email, phone calls? What are you seeing from a medium standpoint when it comes to inbound communication?
Hands down, SMS is it right now. Wow. I mean, it's not it as in only, but it is the number one way. I prefer it. It sounds like you prefer it. Everybody, the open rate is astounding. I mean, I would argue it's probably 100%. I had one that I kept meaning to come back to, and it was driving me insane. I was leaving it there as a little red dot.
Yeah.
I mean, we open all of our SMS, and you're not alone, by the way. I'm at like 14,000 emails. So just take it easy. No stress.
Yeah. I'm not stressed about it. You're
not stressing. Don't put yourself.
I love stressing out other people though, because I know it does.
Certain people just they stop
and listening. I'm sorry for anybody listening that I owe you an email.
That's right. Accountability here comes.
I'm sorry.
No, but it's SMS, man. And you know, honestly, talking about email, email's not dead. You know how like junk mail kind of came and went, and then now you're kind of starting to see it come back because we're like, oh, I got a letter, I got a paper in the mail. There's this ebb and this flow, right? And we work with the Billy Graham team, and their email folks, man, they're seeing more emails than ever before. It's incredible. So big proponents. We did a video. We put out our own resources. I'll plug ourselves here for just 2 seconds, echoglobal.org/resources. Nice. And you can check out, we have Echo Conversations on our YouTube channel. But the Billy Graham team, the email guy, Kevin, good buddy of ours, talking about how email's not dead. It's just as alive as it ever has been. So SMS and email actually thriving. And, you know, Facebook is in an interesting time. They've had a really hectic year to be nice, you know, with all the security stuff. And every couple months, it seems like there's like another, you know, palm to forehead. Like, what are you guys doing? Which technologically has been interesting to keep up with, because they are changing all sorts of stuff, trying to keep up. But yeah, so social media is going to be this beast that's like, LinkedIn's making a comeback. What's that about? Yeah. You know, Snapchat, is it dead yet? I don't know. Jay Crand is still using it, but you know, I think that's the one of three people still using Snapchat, but it's going to come and go. Snapchat's going to make a resurgence or something. Who knows? But email, everybody has an email because everybody signs up for stuff, right? Yeah. So everybody's got an email. And then SMS, like we just discussed, man, it's the open rate. It's you can't argue. It's the best.
So when it comes to SMS, does I think people don't know where to start. So we go to Hillsong Church here in New York City. It's all about SMS. When you see a message on the screen, even giving, it's text this number to sign up, or you baptisms, you know.
Yeah.
Everything is 99,000, text baptisms to 99,000. Is that what service do you use? Is that Echo, or are there other services that integrate, if you know of any? And then two, what is the best way? And I think two, the other thing is people have a fear factor of, I know there's a lot of laws around SMS in comparison to email, where in email people are freaking out and with, you know, all the stuff that's happening in Europe. So what do people need to know about SMS from a communication standpoint of, yeah, not getting sued by the government or whatever happens? Are we going to get churches take over?
Because I can say four letters, and GDPR. If you are listening to this and you know what I just said, then you know the crazy hectic time we're in.
Yeah.
Essentially, if you interact with anybody in Europe, in the EU, this new legislation, GDPR, that's been rolled out in the last year, has just been a technological headache for those of us that are building and software and managing data. So all of that is in flux. Everybody's still trying to figure out best practices, how to do this, how to not get sued and then go out of business because the penalties are insane. That is a big, huge part of this. As far as payments go, that is really popular, and like tithing and offerings are all kind of going digital, right?
Yeah.
We actually, through Echo, we don't handle that right now. That could be something we do in the future. But, you know, I hear people, I have not interacted with them, but PushPay, everybody talks about PushPay.
Yeah.
So if you have, I mean, I'm sure you probably are pretty knowledgeable with those guys. And I know, I just hear great things about PushPay. So
yeah,
figure PushPay probably needs somebody to say something. There you go.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of technologies out there. And I think one is using a platform that can integrate with your church database system. I think one of the technology mistakes that a lot of churches make is not integrating effectively with their church management system. And so make sure you're doing that effectively. Text in Church, I don't know how wide it goes. I love their philosophy. I love their CEO. I think they're very innovative. I assume it can do pretty much everything you need to do with SMS systems. But
yeah,
and there's some other, I think Twilio, or there's some good services out there.
Yeah.
Twilio, I don't know anything about it other than I've heard it a little bit, and I think it does SMS.
So, yeah, it's kind of a backbone. Like if you're messing with Twilio, then you're way deep into it. Okay. Yeah.
Probably not a front end for most folks.
Yeah, you're not going to be on church staff, that's for sure.
Okay. That's good to know.
But yeah, so actually it's really interesting you bring that up about the church management systems, which seems like there's been an explosion in that market in the last year, 2 years.
Yeah.
But, you know, we Echo was started to be evangelism only, actually. And it was just recently that we kind of pivoted and added to our group of services the idea of serving the local church.
Yeah.
So we are now, you know, just now, and here in a couple months, it'd be a different conversation, but starting to integrate with all of the players. I don't even necessarily know if I want to say the names, but all the players, the CMS market that everybody's using. Okay, I'll say the CCBs and the Rock RMS and the everybody's using it to schedule out bands, but now they've got their own
planning center.
Yep. The planning center stuff. So yeah, very soon we're going to be integrating with all of that actually to bring all of it together. But again, with all the data management stuff, it's really tricky. What's funny is if you're on this side of technology, you realize that like everybody's just figuring this out day to day because right now data management and lumping that into security, not quite as much because we've been trying to keep things secure for a while. But this data management thing is just, it's a hurricane right now. It's crazy.
Yes.
But there's all sorts of great tools.
Yeah. I would say it's a good day for the church because good organizations are creating good technology for the church when it comes to management systems. Echo, PushPay is another great example. So there's some great companies doing some good stuff. Tidely is another one too that's in the space side of it. So some really great companies serving the church well around technology. So I'm really excited about that. Fascinating with SMS. I feel like it's one of those things that I feel like I kind of missed. I'm a big proponent right now of messenger bots. And I think where people are getting bots wrong is they're seeing bots too much in automation and building this high-end AI, which is where I think a lot of it is going, and really seeing it as a way that an organization could communicate through messenger. And so I see a big opportunity of how you can integrate automation and real-time communication with a messenger bot. It doesn't have to all be automated within a messenger bot. It's complicated and a bit confusing right now, but I think churches and ministries need to be paying attention to messenger bots. And I think it's a big moment right now of messenger bots. I hear somewhere between 85% to 90% open rate. So similar to SMS, email is about a 20% open rate if you're doing good.
That's incredibly good.
and that's hard to swallow because most people assume. It's funny. A lot of people assume everybody in their email list opens every email. When you start getting into the data, you realize it's not the case. A lot of people think you got 1 million followers on Facebook. That means 1 million people saw your post. That's not the case. It just doesn't work that way, except with SMS. And I think right now with messenger bots, I expect just because Facebook being Facebook, it's not going to stay that way. But I do think that there is this kind of beautiful window to really get into messenger right now.
I love that you said window because that's how I look at it too. We're in the window because before too long, Apple's going to roll out a new feature in iMessage, or Android's going to finally figure out how to do messaging well, and they're going to wrap new rules around this. So right now, you're right, we're in this really sweet window that's like everybody gets the SMS. But can I just say, Nils, and I know that this is your heart too, but as our friend Spider-Man says, with great power comes great responsibility.
Yes,
please. Church, please be very good stewards with this technology. You know, all this technology, like when we build and build and build and release powerful technology, it's like, man, I hope people use this for good. Because it can be chaotic and it can turn into spam, and people abuse the power that is available to us now with technology. So as the church, gosh, I think it is a stewardship issue. Because we can doesn't mean we should. And so with that in mind, like, gosh, just be careful with your technology, especially this SMS thing, because of how personal it is right now still. I would encourage anybody listening to just be very careful and use it well, but be careful.
Yeah, that's good.
The golden rule applies here, I think. Do unto others. If you've ever been like, man, I'm just blowing up. Yeah, keep that in mind when you're talking to your church.
Yes. And I think people often will ask me, where's this all going? And I think the question is often when, because what happened in 2016 was different than what happened in 2017 and what happened in 2018, 2019, it's always changing and we have to adapt and adjust. But email, and people often have this conversation, is email dead yet? No, it's not dead.
Nope.
Is it dying? Maybe, but we probably 10 years from now,
maybe
social, maybe, and it might have a resurgence. I mean, we really don't know where all this is going. We have to constantly adapt and adjust. What we do know is it's going to continue to change. People often say, who's going to win social media? Well, I don't know that we ever will know, but it won't, whatever it is today is going to be different tomorrow. So we're in a season though, where we're in a season where just the future is always going to just change more and more rapidly. And so we have to continue to adapt and adjust and then see opportunities like SMS right now. And there might be complicated policies, but that's also why there's probably greater opportunities. I want to make a prediction though.
Nils' predictions. This is good.
Based on an interview I just heard, I have been a Jack Dorsey fan for a decade. So he's one of the founders of Twitter. He's currently the CEO of Twitter and he's the CEO of Square. So I'm interested too in what he's doing with Bitcoin. He's all about Bitcoin.
Gosh, you're a nerd. This is so good. Keep going. And
I think Jack Dorsey is maybe the greatest technology leader we've ever known. And I would maybe even put him above Steve Jobs.
Whoa.
As to who I admire in technology.
Okay.
Because I think he's a genuine genius and purist at the same time.
Mm.
He is so smart, and he desires to steward the platform of Twitter very well. And I think a lot of people have created opinions of Twitter of it's gone through a lot of adjustments and changes, and they've still struggled to monetize the platform.
Yeah.
But they've really, there's a stability now in Twitter as a news channel. And so I think the decline has stopped. I think a lot of people have created opinions that it's just about politics. It is not just about politics, but there are a lot of different factors. So I think Twitter is actually going to see a resurgence, but it's going to be a gradual, steady resurgence. And I say resurgence of it's going to begin to grow again. I just believe in the future of Twitter because I believe in Jack Dorsey as a leader and his philosophy around Twitter. So I have been a bit hesitant and pulling back on Twitter. It doesn't mean go tweet 200 tweets tomorrow, but pay attention to Twitter. I think people thought, well, Facebook beat Twitter. Well, Twitter and Facebook are two very different platforms.
Completely different.
And Instagram too. And Snapchat too. And Twitter, though, is not trying to copy Snapchat like Instagram did. Twitter is its own unique platform.
Yeah.
And so I just think the stability of Twitter, and I think the stability of Twitter's leadership under Jack Dorsey, I believe in that future. Than I ever have. This interview just re-inspired me in Twitter, in the world of Twitter. And I think people that abandon Twitter need to maybe not abandon it so fast. It doesn't mean you need to go all in with Twitter, but let's not give up on Twitter at this point. I think there's a lot of stability to Twitter. I don't think it's going to just take off again, but I think it's a good platform to be engaged in into the future. So that's my two cents.
Well, I got to ask, I mean, this Twitter in this time, in our culture right now, I can't think about Twitter without Trump.
Yes.
So do you feel like that was a giant, was there a spike in Twitter? You said, I'm sure someone's done a study, but what's your take on Trump coming to Twitter? Was it maybe not a resurrection, but was it like a resurgence back to Twitter just to keep up with this guy?
Yeah. I mean, Trump has brought a lot of attention to Twitter, but it's also caused a lot of people to pigeonhole Twitter as to this is what Twitter is used for. And you think about, you know, when I watched the Super Bowl, I got on Twitter because I wanted to see what people were saying about the halftime show in the way I'm able to follow a trend in Twitter
is
like any other platform out there. You know, we had this blue light here in New York a couple months ago.
Right.
This weird blue light.
Yeah.
We were like, what? Like, it looked like an alien. I'm not kidding. Like, it was like in New York
City. Independence Day. Where's Will Smith? Here we go.
Yeah. It's like 9 o'clock at night, and the sky is bright blue.
Yes.
And we're like, what's going on? We went to Twitter, and we knew. Twitter is a fascinating platform, the way it has really developed real-time news, information, engagement, connection to a story. So it has its place in conversations. And I think some people just have pigeonholed it of the popularity of what's come with Trump being so vocal on it. But practically too, I don't love Trump, but I do love that Trump has a platform to communicate directly with everyone everywhere without going through the media. To have access to a president like that.
We've never seen anything like this.
What a day in history.
Absolutely.
And so I love it. I love what the technology has done. And I love too that Jack Dorsey in this interview that I just listened to, he sees it as basically like a new television, not a new television network. It's not his platform to control who says what on the platform. It's to develop the medium that creates a safe place for people to share news and information and do life and have conversations. And so it's fascinating the structure they've created for a technology to create communication. And I think that's at the core of the church should be at the center of conversation.
Yes.
In culture and communicate. And that's where social media and digital engagement and all of this thing, SMS.
It's the marketplace, man. We need to go to the marketplace.
And we have dated database systems. We have dated websites. We need to be pushing the limits of these technologies, and we don't have to break the bank to do that.
That's right.
We need to create ministry systems and steward these resources effectively. Some powerful opportunities. Daniel, I love what Echo is doing. I love this conversation. Any final thoughts that you would share with church leaders when it comes to online engagement, online conversations, from your experience and knowledge with Echo?
Gosh. I mean, that authenticity piece is huge.
Yeah.
We've seen some, again, amazing stories come from, the conversations that have been hosted through Echo, and, but we've also seen some missed opportunities, and it always comes from authenticity. It comes from someone feeling like they're a little rushed, or they've over committed themselves as far as taking too many conversations, and they miss that authenticity piece, and the opportunity slips away. So I think that's crucial in every way, whether it's physical church, whether it's an online conversation, that's huge. But I'm a Spider-Man fan, but I think it still applies every time that with great power comes great responsibility. And it's with technology too. Almost every little Echo Conversations YouTube show we do, I'm quoting that, but it's just so, it matters so much that we are good stewards, stewardship and authenticity when it comes to technology in the church.
I love it. I love it. Daniel, I love you. I love Echo.
Love you, man.
I'm so glad. Digital hug. Well, and we had a physical hug just a couple of days ago when you were in New York City.
Got to meet your family, your beautiful children, and your wife.
Yeah.
So cool.
So good for the families to meet. I appreciate what you guys are doing. If those of you listening, you can go to echoglobal.org, find out more about Echo, things they're doing, the content that they're creating is fantastic. We're going to have another episode with Andre from the team.
That's
we're going
right.
to talk about content and the production that they're the quality of production they're creating. And those of you, if you're just listening to this, go watch this video, because Daniel's background has said it's beautiful. that's another point of this conversation. We're going to talk to Andre about that in another episode.
Man, he's awesome. Yep.
The systems they've created around creative production are fantastic as well. But go to echoglobal.org, check out the awesome things that they're doing. Thanks so much for listening. If you would also, wherever you're listening, rate this podcast, leave a review, share with a friend, mean the world to us. Thanks so much for listening to the Social Media Church Podcast.